It's time to cowboy up and register for the annual Wolf Creek Wrangle Trail Run. Race day is September 20th, and you can run, hike, or participate virtually in 5-mile, 7-mile, half marathon, or 30K. This event is hosted by the historic Eaton's Ranch, and all proceeds benefit Habitat for Humanity. Spots are limited. To register, go to runwolfcreekwrangle.com. This year's Wolf Creek Wrangle is sponsored in part by Sheridan Media and Sheridan County Travel and Tourism.
Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates Team at Best. Kids are back in school, the temperatures are starting to cool, so now is the time to take a deep breath before your next big thing starts. But just because classrooms are opened up, the summer is behind us, doesn't mean that the real estate market has cooled off. The fall season is one of the best times to sell and market your property, with things a little calmer and often cozier weather throughout the day. And for buyers, now is the time to jump on that perfect home for you, so you're all set for the winter season ahead. Let us help find the best fit for you. Give us a call at 675-BEST and visit besttobewide.net today.
Don't just mow, dominate with a Bad Boy mower from Hando Service Center. Keeping Sheridan rolling and mowing since back when ice was the hottest thing around. We sell and service Bad Boy mowers and 4x4 side-by-sides built to work hard and last long. Factory-trained techs, honest service, and parts on hand to keep you running. So when the grass fights back, fight dirty with a Bad Boy mower from Hando's on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Tuesday, September 2nd. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I am joined by the executive director of Rooted in Wyoming, David Johnson, and the owner and general manager of Landon's Greenhouse, Keith Kershaw. Good morning, gentlemen, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you.
I said that name right, Mr. Kershaw?
Yes, sir.
All right. Fantastic. Yes. How have things been out at the greenhouse this summer?
It has been good. You know, it always seems like every season goes by very fast. This one has had its ups and downs, you know, a lot of rain in spring, and it's also been pretty warm this summer.
Yeah.
And humid.
Yeah. It's been kind of a crazy humid summer.
Yeah.
That's something that me and my cohort, Ron Richter, were talking about. He's been here 25 years, and he said he couldn't remember a summer that was so humid.
Some sticky days. Very much
yes,
so.
Yes, it has. How's Rooted in Wyoming been?
Oh, things have been really good this summer, Keith. We started in June with a nice dedication at the VA Garden, the Victory Garden, where the chamber came out. And we had helped install 500 feet of wheelchair-accessible pathways, raised beds, and then shade protection for the veterans. And so that's been a real fun project to be involved with. The other thing that continues to happen this summer is Rooted in Wyoming started an incubator farm out at the Bridges property, the old NSI. And so we have our first producer out there, a lady named Andrea Schmidt. And so she's actually got about a quarter acre of land where she's growing everything from garlic to tomatoes to peppers and started her own market garden. So we're trying to attract new people into agriculture. So that's been a really fun. And then I would like to point out that this morning we're actually at the Fifth Street Greenhouse. And that's up at the high school, and there's about 100 pounds of lettuce being produced a week right now that's being harvested for the school meal program. And so that's harvested on Mondays and gets distributed to the 9 schools and school district too.
I think that's fantastic. And these kids, are they the ones maintaining their gardens up at the schools?
So out at the various schools, so all of the elementary schools have school gardens. And so usually there's a teacher at the school, some volunteers at the school that work with the kids at the school gardens. And so part of how those gardens get the plants that are in them is we run a garden to cafeteria seed starting program in the spring. And so we had like 20 classes up at the Fifth Street Greenhouse this year where kids learn about soils, worms, and planting seeds. And now they learn about hydroponic lettuce production. And then all of the seeds that they start are grown in that greenhouse, and then they're disseminated to their school gardens. And then along about this time of year, people start harvesting that produce and start to bring it into the school meal program. So it's a lot of fun.
It's amazing. I mean, there's so much science going on in a garden, I love it when a biologist or a plants and life scientist comes along and kind of describes the small things that are happening every single day that really make an impact. And those kids really feel and eat that impact. And there's got to be a lot of pride behind that. You know, when you sit down to your lunch and you're eating a salad and you know you and your friends had a hand in that, that's pretty cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Now, so for folks who may not be familiar, what is Landon's Fall Fest Farmers Market and how has it grown over the years?
That's a good question. So the Farmers Market originally started probably about 10 years ago. And we tried to initially start as just a farmer's market, not a craft bazaar, and basically edibles, something that's been grown or made right here locally. Now, the Fall Fest is basically taking it up another notch. So the Fall Fest is the same thing, only we're opening it. We actually call it more of an open market. So we do three of those each year. There'll be a spring, a summer, and a fall fest. And so those three markets will be open. So we have other vendors that come in to do other things that are not necessarily just grown or edibles. So, but the farmers market, other than those three events, is truly just edibles.
So you're able to kind of come through a typical farmers market and do all your produce shopping right then and there. And
yes.
Know that it was grown locally by individuals right here. And then the festivals, a little bit larger.
Yes.
I can go down there with a reusable bag and fill it up full of baked goods if I wanted to.
Correct. Yep. But just a little bit bigger scale. It's a little more of an open market.
That's what I've got in mind. That's what I'm after when I show up to these festivals. Point me to the cake.
Yes.
Now, you also have very deep roots in the community at Landon's Greenhouse. I've even been to an event out there myself. How does hosting events like the Fall Fest reflect your mission as a local business?
Oh, I think it's huge. Landon's has been in business for 46 years now. So
wow.
This is our 46th year. And I think being part of the community is huge. I think it's necessary and it's the right thing to do, you know, especially like what we're doing with Rooted in Wyoming.
Absolutely.
These collaborations, if you will, they're huge. You know, we live in a small town. Everybody knows everybody or recognizes each other. And being part of the community is very important. We get questions everywhere we go, whether it's a courthouse, a grocery store.
And that, you know, I was going to ask you, you stopped on the street quite a bit.
Absolutely.
People asking you, when's this going to come in? Or
yes. Everybody breaks out their phone and, what's wrong with my tree?
Yeah.
It's not vacation pictures. It's what's wrong with my plant or my tree.
If,
or
if a leaf looked like this, what would you say was going on? How do the blueberries look this year?
Good.
Yeah?
Yes. What's left? Yes.
What's left?
What's left at the store look good.
I'm going to make a confession to you, Keith. I tried growing a blueberry plant, and I think I bought it too long after a frost because I thought I did everything right, and she didn't make it.
A tricky plant as well. It's not just a quick, easy one. That's a little tricky.
Okay, I feel a little bit better after that.
It's not an easy one.
I'm going to have to go get another blueberry bush. Now, what makes this year's farmer's market unique? Is there anything new or different? After having this market for so many years, does anybody show up kind of with an experiment that they did this spring where you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know those grew here?
Ooh, that's a good question. Not that I can think of at the moment.
Is there anything that you want to try growing that you haven't yet?
Oh boy. I will tell you, years ago, we tried kiwis. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, there are some cold hardy kiwis and they have to have a male and a female. And quite honestly, I don't think we have a long enough of a season. Basically from the last frost to the first frost, I just don't think that there's enough of a season, but that's different. That's all. That's out there ways.
Excuse my ignorance. Do kiwis grow on a tree or a bush?
These were more shrub type.
Okay.
Yep.
Can we grow in a greenhouse?
Possibly. That would absolutely extend that time frame.
Take a lot of love, I imagine, for a handful of kiwis.
It would take, yes, absolutely.
Take a lot of love for a handful
of
kiwis.
I will tell you, it's very interesting how much we can do, even though Wyoming or Sheridan is a very cold climate and we have lots of issues stacked against us. We can do quite a bit of fruit, you know, whether fruit trees or small fruits. It's quite impressive.
What kind of fruit does best around here?
Apples.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hands down, probably apples would be they do the best.
Now, What is the pitch and place contest? I saw this in the notes that you sent me. And what is it, and how does it work for vendors? What's the stake?
Yeah, so earlier this summer, we had a conversation with the USDA Regional Food Business Center, which started in about 2023, and that was the effort to try to build capacity of local businesses, food businesses, to try to build technical assistance for them and to coordinate markets. And so they decided one of the ways that you could go about doing this is to have a contest amongst vendors at a farmer's market. And instead of maybe doing it downtown where you might have a pitch of different kind of businesses on a stage in the dark, you just come to the vendors right where they're comfortable at a farmer's market. And so USDA pitched this idea to several of us in Wyoming, and they're going to have one at Slow Foods in Jackson, and they decided to have one at Landon's Farmers Market here in Sheridan, collaborating with Rooted in Wyoming. So we just basically went down to the farmers market starting in about May, started asking vendors if they would like to participate in a contest where they can win money to help their businesses move forward in post-production activities. So for example, first prize this year is $2,000 award, second prize is $1,000, third prize is $500, and the public gets to vote too, and there's a $1,500 public choice award. So we have judges coming. There's six judges coming. Oh, so we have judges coming from the Food Innovation Center in Colorado State. We've got judges coming from the Small Business Development Center, the Wyoming Business Council, the Regional Food Business Center, as well as Sheridan College. So there's six judges that'll be there. And when you're at your booth, so you'll just have to give your pitch once. You get 2 minutes to give your pitch about what your business is. And so you'll do things to talk about, you know, what are the attributes of your business? You know, what are the packaging? So what's the compliance? What's the financials of this? And you're going to be judged on all these characters. So it's, you know, it's kind of a pretty impressive contest. And then the judges can ask the contestants questions. So they got about 3 minutes to ask questions, and then they'll go round two. And I think this year we have 17 businesses signed up for this contest.
Wow. So you got 17 kind of small businesses, and this could be anything from grandma making jam to somebody possibly baking something that they grew, and everything in between there. They're going to be able to make their elevator pitch.
That's right. So it's an elevator pitch. You want to be really focused in your 2 minutes because you're going to, you know, have judges. So you don't want to have a nice booth display. And the exciting thing is we've got various age groups. So, I mean, there's some youth that are involved. There's one girl that's going to have a pasta business where she's making actually some spaghetti noodles or some lasagna noodles. We got two boys that have entered this, their fifth and sixth grade, and they're growing potatoes. So they've got Reds and they've got Yukon Golds. And so they've got a potato business they call LM Squared Spuds. And so we're really excited about that. And then everything else, we've got mushroom businesses. We've got, you know, businesses that are baked goods. We got Pepper King, for example, will be in the contest.
Oh, wow.
With all kinds of different products that are being made. And then so it'll be like one of those things you might have seen on TV before where you've got a pitch that you're doing that pitch.
Yeah.
And you can win money. And then the idea is to eventually, you know, help them advance that business and come what's the next business idea that we may have here in Wyoming.
Fantastic. Now, when it comes to individuals joining up on this, Are we kind of behind the starting line now, or I guess we could say forward of the starting line, or can people still say, you know what, I got an idea, I'd love to pitch it, can they join in?
So right now we're close to the 17 contestants that we have, but I would encourage people to come to the market to see this contest and participate in the public.
Absolutely.
The public component of it, and let's see if we can pull this off again next year. So as we continue to collaborate with Landon's and help build the farmers market, build the capacity of local businesses throughout Wyoming, let's see if we can have this contest go on next year. So we got a grant to help with it this year.
Oh, that's great. I would love to have this be something that people really work towards every year, you know, developing that small jamming business or honey, anything really, and being able to make that pitch. Now, the pitch and place contest, this is called. So why do you feel, as the executive director of Rooted in Wyoming, it is so important to give our smaller local vendors a big spotlight like this?
Well, I think anything that we can do to connect communities through local food, we want to highlight that. And so that's kind of the mission at Rooted in Wyoming. And then anything that we can do to teach everybody that lives in Wyoming how to grow their own food and connect people to their local food, I think is important. I think it seems like we've kind of taken a step back from knowing where our food comes from. Depending on where you live, you may not realize where your food comes from. You might think it just comes from the store, not realizing that it was grown on a farm. It was turned into a, you know, a value-added product, and then that's for a healthy diet that we all want to consume. So I think anything that we can do to work with promoting local businesses, getting people to interact with the public so they can learn where our food comes from, that will result in a healthier diet and maybe result in a healthier population down the road. And then it will help our economies. I think anything that we can do to foster businesses so that we have dollars exchanging within our local communities, I think that's going to help grow the Wyoming economy, grow local economies in our state.
David, do you feel that every yard should have a garden?
I actually do. I'm just one of those people that, you know, I think, you know, there's something about being outside, getting some sunlight, spending some time with plants. I think for me, it's a very relaxing time. It's very good for your mental health. It's just relaxing, and it's good exercise to be outside and to be a part of nature and to learn where our food is coming from. So I encourage everybody to have a small garden, and maybe even if you just have a balcony, some potted plants. You can use bags for pots. You can use all kinds of things to grow plants in. Maybe start small. Start with maybe some tomatoes or some peppers or something that you like to grow. Maybe it's carrots. Maybe it's beets. Yeah. Just anything like that.
Well, I'll tell you what. My grandma, Whiting, Carrie, she lived long into her 90s, and she gardened about every day of that life, and she attributes her garden to a long and happy life. She had a big backyard, but sure enough, she used half of it for her garden, and it was a heck of a garden. Wow. We had everything from corn and other kinds of beans and beets and you name it. It really gives you a reason. You know, now, when exactly is our fall festival going to be kicking off?
It'll be this Saturday at 9 o'clock. Gates open at 9 o'clock.
Fantastic. This coming weekend, 9 a.m., you got some place to be.
Yes, sir. Right. Well, we'll be ready.
How many vendors are you going to have out there in total?
We will have somewhere in the 50 to 55 vendors.
Fantastic. That's going to be half a day's event.
It'll be a big event.
So make sure you bring your bags, folks, because you're going to be filling them up with just about everything. A lot of great events going on out there. Is there going to be anything out there for like the kids or anything like that?
Oh, yes. Well, of course, we've got the playground for the kids. We also have our Gnomeo, the kids' little contest for the kids to try to find the gnome. That's always fun. And then we are also doing sales in the nursery.
Fantastic. All right. And we're going to have more with Rooted in Wyoming and Landon's Greenhouse right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
It's lights, camera, action for the 8th Annual YO Film Fest presented by the Standish Family Fund. It all kicks off on Thursday, October 2nd with feature documentary Remaining Native. The Friday night feature is World Without Cows, a film that tells the importance of cattle to Wyoming's people and environment. New this year, bring the kids for Saturday morning cartoons at 9 a.m., a family-friendly block of animated short films with a colorful mix of styles for kids and adults. Pajamas encouraged. Enjoy a cereal bar, breakfast treats, coffee, and Bloody Marys for the grown-ups. Then at 10:30, it's Wake Up with Wyoming, short films made in Wyoming by Wyoming filmmakers or inspired by life in this beautiful state. See the complete lineup and get individual tickets or buy a festival pass, good for the whole weekend. The 8th Annual YO Film Fest, October 2nd through October 5th. Get your tickets now at yofilmfest.org.
Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors was born and built right here in Sheridan, Wyoming. And this time of year, the temperatures aren't the only thing rising. So are the out-of-town roofers. You know, the ones with wrapped trucks claiming they're local. They knock on your door, drop an area code, then give you 3 days to come up with your deductible. Brandon 307 has been on these rooftops for years, installing impact-resistant shingles, metal roofing, and keeping homes Wyoming tough. Go with the name you know. Call Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors for your inspection or visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
It's time to cowboy up and register for the annual Wolf Creek Wrangle Trail Run. Race day is September 20th, and you can run, hike, or participate virtually in 5-mile, 7-mile, half marathon, or a 30K. This event is hosted by the historic Eaton's Ranch, and all proceeds benefit Habitat for Humanity. Spots are limited. To register, go to runwolfcreekwrangle.com. This year's Wolf Creek Wrangle is sponsored in part by Sheridan Media and Sheridan County Travel and Tourism.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with the executive director of Rooted in Wyoming, David Johnson, and the owner and the general manager of Landon's Greenhouse, Keith Kershaw. All right. Now, rootstock. This sounds pretty fun. Tell us what this is and what inspired Rooted in Wyoming to launch this as a fundraiser.
Well, I think it started with our conversations with Keith coming down to Landon's and talking about the pitching place and what was going to be going on at the farmer's market. And long about this time of year, Rooted typically has a hoedown or a farm-to-table event. And so we thought, well, why not partner with Keith, because they don't always have at Fall Fest a meal. Mm-hmm. And so we decided, well, why don't we try to bring our fall fundraiser to Landon's, have it right after the farmer's market gets over, to start it right at noon, run it till 3 o'clock. Let's have some local food. So we've working with Ola's Market. Ola's going to be baking her buns, or some of you know those buns, and so she's going to be doing that. She's got local pork that they're going to be providing. I mentioned these two boys that are growing these potatoes. Well, so we've sourced 75 pounds of potatoes from them so that we can put that into the potato salad. So Ola's going to be making that. And then we've got Western Variety Farm that's going to be providing us the cabbage that they've grown here locally, and that's going to be put into coleslaw. So you've got that whole meal aspect. And then if you're going to have a meal, you need some music. So yeah. We reached out to Dave Munsick, and Dave Munsick, a bunch of you know Dave Munsick, the song teller. He's going to be doing live performance for us. And then, of course, you got to have something to drink when you're out there. So we're going to have Luminous Brewhouse there with the truck. And so it's just going to be a time to enjoy and celebrate what's gone on all summer at the farmer's market and bring the community together. So there's tickets on sale for that. You can buy those even at the day of the event. So if you're out at the market, you haven't decided you want to go, be sure to do that. But really, this all was inspired by kind of like our conversations with Landon's and how do we bring community together and let's celebrate the farmer's market after that. So during that rootstock at the first half hour or so, we'll be announcing the winners of the pitch-in place. So you will find out who got first, second, third, and who the public choice is. Well, we'll try to do that early in the event. So I encourage everybody to come on out and enjoy that particular event. It's going to be a day to just celebrate the local farmers market.
What a fantastic event. I really like the – I wouldn't say it's an updating of like the hoedown, but it's a partnership that has melded two together, which I think is great. You can go to the farmers market, walk around, look at all this great food all day, and know that you're about – to have a meal that includes a lot of these foods. So I love that idea with the potatoes, those two gentlemen that are growing them out there. I mean, they might be onto something. You never know. There's gold in that ground, I'm telling you. Now, how does Rootstock really support the mission of Rooted in Wyoming? I mean, from an outsider's perspective, yeah, we're out there promoting what we grow around here, but there's something deeper. What is it?
Well, so Rooted in Wyoming is a nonprofit 501c3, and so we rely on donations to continue our educational programs. And so one of the things that we'll be doing during the day is we'll have a booth set up, and we'll be explaining what some of the programs are, garden to cafeteria, seed starting, for example, the work that we did at the VA, the farm wall hydroponic project down at Smith Alley, or whether it's harvesting lettuce at the Fifth Street Greenhouse or the incubator farm that we came up with. So we really want to continue to connect community through local food. And we want to do that through educational activities, capacity building of producers, education of students. What better way to get to know your local food than to start to educate kids that are in K through five all the way through high school, whether you get into 4-H or get into FFA, and then to have interns that come to do that. And now attracting more people into growing their local food. How can we actually foster more people to get into agriculture and to realize that they can help grow their own food and to provide opportunities, public opportunities for people to do that, like out at Bridges?
David, if I'm sitting at home, I've never done anything like this before, but let's say I know there's a lot of people who want to. They just don't have the knowledge. And there's that garden out there at the old, you know what I'm talking about.
NSI.
14, there you go. The old NSI, excuse me. And I can take part in that. I can join up. I can get a little plot and really give it a good old college try. But as I said, a lot of people are just intimidated by the idea, well, I don't want to kill anything. My wife won't buy houseplants for that very reason. She just feels that she could take care of animals all day long, but this is where she stumbles, and she just doesn't want to hurt anything. Those people who have that drive behind them and not the knowledge, can they stop in, ask questions?
Absolutely. This is a really interesting conversation. I really appreciate you bringing this up, because what I want everybody to know is that you basically, you just try.
Yeah.
You do an experiment. You know, you start with a plant that maybe interests you, and then you can come out to Rooted. You can volunteer. You can work with us at school gardens. You can work with us at our teaching garden that we have that's of raised beds. You can go to Landon's and you can buy your first plant, and then you can ask the guys and the gals at Landon's, you know, hey, how do I grow this particular plant, and how do I get started small? I usually encourage people to start small.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes you have a big grand plan how you're going to, you know, take over the world or something like that.
You are going to be the one to make that impact.
But really, just start small. Start with your first house plant. Start with your first balcony plant. Start with your first garden plot. And then if you're worried about doing that at your own setting, there's a lot of community gardens, whether that's Sagebrush Community Garden or Emerson Community Garden, or it's the Food Forest. Or if you're a veteran and you want to have a plot out at the VA, you can get a plot out at the VA. And there are people there that will help you, guide you. And Rooted in Wyoming, we have volunteer base. We have a board of directors that have helped do many of these things. And then the volunteers at the different programs. If you want to help harvest lettuce at the Fifth Street Greenhouse, we do that on Monday mornings. And if you just want to volunteer and see how that's done, you can show up at about 8:30 in the morning. And I can connect you up with Shaylee Cooper there, who will help you get going on helping harvest lettuce for the school meal program. And you can just volunteer and learn one day at a time.
Yep. A lot of resources.
One plant at a time.
Nice. And I think that's fantastic, you know, the bit by bit. That's the best way to get into this. You know, one day you show up and you got your hands in the air, you don't know what's going on. And then next thing you know, you've got a plot of your own, and you're experimenting, and you're trying to grow kiwis out in the middle of nowhere.
Gotcha. And then you're hooked.
And then you're hooked. Right. And then all of a sudden you start getting this feeling that your hands haven't hit dirt in too long. And I know that feeling rather well.
Yep.
All right. I got a lot of questions, and I'm running out of time. Now, just real quick, I want to know your partnerships. How do partnerships like the ones that you've got with Landon's Greenhouse, the food group, the schools, how do they really help Rooted in Wyoming expand reach? I mean, this was an idea of a mom, you know, who thought, I need to teach my kids this vital skill. And look at it now. I mean, I think everyone in Wyoming knows Rooted in Wyoming. How do these partnerships really expand on that?
Well, I think what they expand is, so let's say you're working with our mini grant program and you offer a $1,000 mini grant to a school that's maybe in Cody or one that's in Evanston. So that starts to expand it out. And I think when you're working with the VA, you'll get a new idea about something that'll work for a veteran. If you're working with Easter Seals, how are we going to make a garden accessible to somebody that's in that particular community? And if you're at a school, whether you're in K to five or you're maybe at the high school level. So there's different ways to think about how those programs are done. And so I just think that, you know, that reach continues to go, to continue to have the conversation, to just continue to message. that every community in Wyoming should know how to grow its own food. So that's been important. So we've had connections. We got a grant recently that I wanted to share with you. And this grant was through the Department of Family Services, and it's administered by the Foodworks Group. And what that grant does is it's given us $50,000 that we're able to use to buy local meat, whether that's pork, beef, or local carrots that are being produced by Western Variety Farm, or lettuce by Papa Joe's, or eggs by Hannah Wellborn's, Wellborn's Farms, or potatoes by Andy at Hikestead Growstead. And then when we buy that produce, we're distributing that produce to the food group, to the Salvation Army, and the community cupboard in Ranchester, so that all of the communities in Sheridan can participate in local food. Wow. You know, we've got the people that come to the farmer's market and buy, but then we've got ways now to start to spread and get that into every community in Wyoming. And I think that's an important way. So just having these conversations, coming on the Public Voice, joining you to just have this fun conversation, working with Keith at Landon's, and just continuing to collaborate locally allows us to expand.
Absolutely. And I'm with you, you know, on the table of every Wyomingite out there, some local food. There's a different type of pride.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you're eating that. And whether you grew it or not, you knew it was grown right here. That's why I love local beef, local pork products. They just taste better. More time, Keith, when is everything going to be kicking off?
Saturday at 9 o'clock.
Saturday at 9 o'clock, head on out there, Rootstock, to follow the Fall Festival. Gentlemen, I want to thank you both so much for coming in this morning. It is always a pleasure having you on. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, when we return, we're going to speak with the organizers of the upcoming main event, Gravel Grinder. Stick with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
This is the captain at Captain Clean. Do you have a giant mess you need cleaned up? Did you just build a house or building and can't tackle the amount of unforeseen sheetrock dust? Call our team at Captain Clean and let our experts take over. From post-construction cleanups to sewer backups, there is rarely a mess too big for us to tackle. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726. Affordable choices for healthy living.
We clean more for you.
Saving money now at Menards. Patriot Lighting Outdoor Motion Sensing Wall Lights bring on-demand bright illumination, adding safety and security to your outdoor area. Choose from a variety of styles and functions like the three-head motion sensor floodlight, which has a powerful 5,500 lumen brightness. Save big on all Patriot security lights. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
God bless the USA, where the right to bear arms will not be infringed upon. The Sky Blue Gun Show is this weekend at Metro Park. Friday from 2 to 7 p.m., Saturday 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday 9 a.m. to 2. Guns, ammo, optics, and more. You can buy, sell, or trade your way through this can't-miss show. Now offering chances to win various prizes all weekend long, including a gun. Bring your family to the gun show this weekend at Metro Park. See you there.
Hey, it's Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. Think of me as your host for the night, opening the door, setting the tone, and making sure everything flows just right. Our server team is dedicated to making your dining experience exceptional. They're not just order takers, they're matchmakers, pairing you with flavors, cocktails, and moments you'll love. Every detail, every time, because great food is just the beginning. Book your table early at Frackleton's.com. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan.
Hi, this is Brad at Primate Motors, and let me tell you, partnering with Sheridan Media and the Country Bounty has delivered proven results time and time again. Our Sheridan Media guy keeps our message fresh, and his reliable customer service means we're never left hanging. If you're looking to move inventory or grow your brand, I say saddle up with the best. Sheridan Media Radio and the Country Bounty. The proof's in the pavement, and that's the results you can haul to the bank.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we are speaking with Eric Kulvinik.
Kulvinskis.
Kulvinskis. Yes. I had it right when we came down. I'm in the wrong business to not be able to say complex names, sir.
It's Saxon of Luck backwards. That doesn't help anybody, though.
I do like how you know that. He is from the Main Event Gravel Grinder and Sundowner Lions Club members Gail Vanderpool and Bill Rathburn. Good morning, all. Welcome to the
morning.
Show.
Good morning.
Morning.
Now, this year's Gravel Grinder is described as a reboot. A big new planning team going on over there. Could you share with us, Eric, what motivated this relaunch and how the event has kind of evolved into this year?
Right. So this is the fifth year. And so I think that the Lions were looking for something to have a source of revenue for their nonprofit. And we were kind of on the outskirts, just kind of helping them from a consulting point of view, some of us local riders, that kind of thing, Jordan at the bike shop, that kind of thing. And so what we saw was great, you know, kind of heroic Herculean efforts. But what we did see is maybe just a little bit of a place where we could come in and give a little more expertise. A lot of us are experienced racers, been racing for a long time. And been to a lot of events and see what works, see what doesn't. And so just to help them with those events, you just need a little bit more of the lift and the planning process and those types of things. And so Adrian Kashke of Wild Vision, he and I went ahead and said, you know, and with Jordan, met with them and just say, hey, you know, this year, let us take some of that heavy lift part of it.
Yeah.
They're invaluable, the Lions Club, in the volunteer area. They've got lots of manpower to help us do that, because these events cannot happen without good sponsors and a good battery of volunteers to help aid stations and flaggers and just help with the everyday logistics. And so they said, okay, they trust us to do that. And so this year we moved the start finish. We had it out in a place where it was just a logistical struggle for a bunch of people to start the event and finish the event. And so we moved it to the Kultiska farm. So we're actually partnering with them, the Kultiska Pumpkin Patch. That's their first opening weekend.
Oh, wow.
And so they have graciously done some efforts for us as well to create a start and finish area and a place where we can do some dry camping. So there's a lot of cyclists, gravel cyclists, who come up and just come up in their vans and want to stay the night, do the event, and then take off after that. So we have a space for that. They're going to feed us as well and provide a shuttle up to the pumpkin patch so people can bring their families.
It's a great partnership.
Yes, it is. It is. And so it expands us instead of just catering to riders to hopefully catering to the families as well. And just to have a great time out there. And the gravel, I just rode the 54 this weekend, is pretty epic. And it's running fast. And the routes are the 54 and 78 are challenging. But I always tell people, slow down and really take in the sights, because it's absolutely gorgeous out there.
And you are offering three different courses, 25, 54, 78. Now, these vary with elevation gains and terrain. How did you design the routes? And do you sit around and try to balance them, challenge, and things like that?
I think the biggest thing is, where can we legally ride?
Yeah.
Right. We don't
want
to cut across people's lands. And so out east of town, we're stuck on the county roads. And so that dictates a lot of where we're at. But thankfully, the way the gravel roads are east of town is that they provide their own challenges. For the 54 and 78 have what we call a triple crown climb. And so there's three pitchy climbs in the first 20 some miles. And then once you get off that one, there is another 10 plus mile gradual climb, which sometimes feels like a false flat. You're actually climbing the whole way. So they do provide their challenges. Now, what's nice about the 25 this year, it's an up and back, but instead of having a partial a portion of it to be gravel. It's about 100% gravel. And so people don't have to be on the highway. We do one crossover of the highway, but we have flaggers there for safety. And so, yeah, the where we can put the routes on the county roads largely dictates where we're at. But I think, you know, we're very thankful that we have such good gravel and such good scenic routes to be able to be on. So,
what is the draw to the gravel part of it? I mean, the gravel grinder, right. Just the name itself.
Yeah.
It's got like this kind of gritty appeal to it and sounds a little tough.
Right.
You know, is that, does, has this event really started to bring in, I guess what I could say, serious riders?
Right. Yeah. I think we are on a shoulder season. So we're at the end of the gravel season. And so we do have seasoned riders that do come in to kind of, not necessarily race and win the thing, but to just relax and have fun.
Mm.
And so, gravel bikes are probably the most popular bikes being, along with e-bikes for that matter, being sold now. Road bikes are kind of waning right now just because of the safety of people wanting to ride on the side of the road.
Yeah.
There's lots of accidents, those types of things. And so if you have the ability to ride gravel, people are doing that. And so just be, it's safer, less traffic. And at least out here in Sheridan and in the foothills and stuff, people and the folks that own land out there are really pretty respectful. I've been riding thousands of miles around here and not really run into anybody with attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's nice. And so I think what's one of the reasons why it's popular, at least out here. And it's gaining popularity all around the United States. There are events that international people are coming into. Pros are starting to show up. We're not that big yet, so, but there are, you know, those types of caliber people showing up at these events because they want to do the smaller regional things because they've done the big ones where they have 5,000 people show up. They're like, great, but we want to go to these other places and explore gravel that we haven't seen yet.
Gail, tell me, you know, this partnership between you and these kind of semi-professional riders, that's got to be pretty nice. These guys step up and say, hey, you know what? Let us help you out.
Yeah, this is the most relaxed I've felt since we started the gravel grinder. And Eric has been with us the whole way because he designed our website for the main event, for our ride.
Which looks great, by the way.
Oh, I love your website. That.
Love that symbol with the lion's head and the road going up to it.
Yeah,
I think
and
it's
so we, you know, we really appreciate all the help. And yeah, none of us are really bike riders. I used to be, but I keep saying I'm going back. I'm not that big of a fan of gravel. However, I guess I shouldn't say that today, but I really like helping. I really like watching the ride. There's so much enthusiasm. It's so beautiful out there.
Yeah.
And you know, we're still helping with aid stations and whatever we can do. You know, it's just a beautiful time of year to ride too. It's a lot of times cooler and the scenery, you know, the hills are turning color and the trees. And so I hope we can make it bigger and make more money at it and get more riders in here. And that's where we're headed with the help of our new committee.
Yeah. And what a fantastic partnership. You know, this thing, I just got a feeling it's going to be one of those bigger events. Yeah. Give it 10 years.
Yeah.
And you'll have a lot of people down here. And Eric, you said, you know, one of the big draws was it was somewhat smaller than some of the bigger events. And even some of these bigger names on the back of the bike want to show up, mainly just to kind of get away.
Right.
And that's got to be a big draw. I was having a conversation with individuals during the last segment of perception. You know, a lot of times people will forget that there's, you know, people in big cities, they don't get these beautiful vistas. They don't get to ride out on a gravel road. And so being able to take a trip just to do something like this is a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I think that whole, the true grassroots ride of something where you show up and you're on a farm.
Yeah.
And that's where your start finish is. And that, you know, there's a chance to have that stickiness of afterwards to hang out, you know, get fed and then go to the pumpkin patch, you know, that kind of thing. And just have that ability for people just to relax. Because some of these events you go to is they have a lot of fanfare and, you know, a lot of these really big sponsors. And they're great and all. And we're real appreciative of these types of things. But they're, you know, like I said, thousands of people show up and it's just a, you know, high stress, just, you know, menagerie of individuals. And, you know, it's just go, go, go. Whereas this, I think sets a tone for just really kind of being a kid on your bike again,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And going for a good cause too is there's a lot of events out there that are great and are commercial, and that's wonderful. Nothing against that at all. But I think us having the proceeds to be able to go to the Lions and what they do, I think is pretty special. And so we try to remind, you know, when I'm emailing the groups or people that registered and those types of things, reminding them, hey, it's for a good cause. Keep telling people about it. And so we're looking to, when people come up, to really make a really quality experience, and that they're going to want to come back and tell people about, because that's how these things go. You can do all the advertising you want, but if your word of mouth isn't strong among the gravel community, it's really hard to grow. So this year we're really trying to make it something very special.
Anyone can promote anything, but it's the people who take part in it. You know, those are the ones that are saying, you got to get on this.
Absolutely.
Ride. You got to jump out there and see this. That's where the big selling point for me would be as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that you brought up being a kid on your bike again. Because when you were describing being out there on the gravel, I can still hear the gravel road under my bike tires as I rode up the street to Bridger Draney's house up on their horse farm. I can still hear that.
Right. But,
and what a fantastic memory that is. And now, Bill, we were talking about, where does the money go?
Well, the money goes into our charity account, and we our mission is sight, as we've told you before, and we take care of kids K through 12 with their eye appointments, eyeglasses, and we have an agreements with all three of the eye centers in town, and so we use it partly for that. But we're into eye surgeries for adults anymore. We start with the Rocky Mountain Lions Eye Bank, and the Lions of Wyoming Foundation. They contribute towards these surgeries, and then we, the three Lions clubs in Sheridan County, the Story Lions Club, the Bighorn Lions Club, and we partner in taking care of the rest of the cost.
You know, when I was a little kid, I'd get my eyes checked at the school, and I always thought it was just something that the school district did. You know, they're bringing in eye doctors and things like that, but it wasn't. It's the Lions Club behind all that, isn't it?
Yes, we do vision screening in the schools. Now, School District 2, I think, bought their own machine, so they do their own screening now, but we do screenings in Claremont. We've gone up into the into southern Montana and done screenings there. So we do vision screenings for children.
Gail, what does it mean to be part of something like this?
Well, I hope I'm not going to cry, but I was just talking with one of my friends about why I joined the Lions, because a lot of service clubs don't have very many members anymore.
Yeah.
And I really joined because of my dad. He had macular degeneration. He became legally blind, and he had been a Lion for many, 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 many years. And we wanted, my sister and I are both members, to do it in his memory.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really means a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, some of these people that need help, you know, kids that don't realize they can't see, and older people on fixed incomes that can't afford to get cataract surgery, you know, they can apply for help through us. And, you know, it's a big deal what we do.
It is a big deal.
And it's, you know, it starts at our local place, but we also do things that cover the whole world. So it's a good club.
Absolutely. And I think it's absolutely fantastic, Eric, that you kind of keep that in perspective with all of your perspective riders. You know, you're saying, hey guys, remember, you know, you're coming out here for a fantastic cause. You're helping individuals who essentially help others to see,
right.
You know, and boy, I'm here to tell you, that might not seem like such a big deal until one day you can't.
Right.
You know, now, are we still taking registrations, Eric?
Yeah, this week would be our last big push. We have deadlines to order, you know, food for everybody, T-shirts, those types of things, and so. But we may extend it to the 13th. So we're talking about that. We're doing a strategy session, Adrian and I, on tomorrow to find out. But I think we'd like everybody, if you're going to sign up, just pull the trigger and do it. It helps us out so we know how many people to you know, plan for. But yeah, we'll probably keep it open until the week before the 13th. So.
And the big event kicks off when?
It's we have check-in, rider check-in happens on the 19th, Friday. From 4 to 8 at the Kultuska Farm, but we are wheels on the ground, and the 78 miles starts at 7:30, 54 starts at 8:30, and then the 25 miles starts at 9:30 on the 20th of September.
Big event coming up, folks. Make sure you're out there. Even if you don't take a ride, head up there. Take in some of the cabbage or the pumpkin patch.
Absolutely.
Take in some of that pumpkin patch. And hey, if you've got an extra set of hands, can I still volunteer maybe to hand out water at an aid station? Or
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You can go to maineventgravel.com and contact us there if you're willing to come out, and we'll find a place for you. Absolutely.
Be a part of it, folks. All right. I want to thank you all so much for coming in this morning. It's an absolute pleasure. Bill, love having you here. We'll plan for your next arrival before you leave the room. Eric, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
No disrespect about the name. It's always
no
great
worries.
To see
no,
you.
I get it. And Gail, I'm called worse.
Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Child Development Center.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
It's time to cowboy up and register for the annual Wolf Creek Wrangle Trail Run. Race day is September 20th, and you can run, hike, or participate virtually in 5-mile, 7-mile, half marathon, or 30K. This event is hosted by the historic Eaton's Ranch, and all proceeds benefit Habitat for Humanity. Spots are limited. To register, go to runwolfcreekwrangle.com. This year's Wolf Creek Wrangle is sponsored in part by Sheridan Media and Sheridan County Travel and Tourism. Did you know that Midas can perform your manufacturer's scheduled maintenance? For most, that means every 30,000 miles you need to check or service critical fluids in the transmission, transfer case, differentials, engine coolant, and brakes. Midas goes a step further with a visual inspection before recommending service. If it can wait, Midas will advise as such. If it needs serviced, Midas will explain why and provide a no-obligation quote. Midas, helping maintain your car, advising what needs fixing, and what can wait. Call or stop by today.
Looking to start a business or take your hobby to the next level? Synergy Shop of Miniums is the answer. Need a toy box for your classic rods? Business location that needs parking and easy access for van or truck traffic? Got a service like taxidermy or sporting goods that need a storefront, counter, and storage in the back? Synergy Shop of Miniums are customizable spaces designed for trades, small businesses, and your hobby dreams. High ceilings, large bay doors, and owner-friendly built-ins. Located near everything. Reserve yours at Sheridan Realty Associates.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
This fall, the Sheridan County Housing Land Trust will have beautiful new construction homes for sale starting at just $231,500. Each single-family home features 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, a garage, and is located in a welcoming, upcoming neighborhood. But at these prices, they'll go fast. Call 307-672-3848, extension 4, or visit SheridanHLT.org to get started.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM, KROE.
KROE.